the moon. You know, just like the old science fiction movies, you know, this big massive rocket land vertically. The people would get off, do whatever they have to do on the moon, get back in and launch back up and go in and redock with the Gateway Space Station. And then from there, they'd go back to Earth on the Mars Orion vehicle that NASA is building. Any other comments? WS1.
That's interesting. Thank you, Paul. I was wondering when they first talking about that it would be a one-way mission. I don't quite understand why they thought it was so, obviously, because they didn't have means or understanding to launch a vehicle. I can't understand what was in their minds for a one-way mission when they were talking about that. Very good. Back to you, W2HL. Thank you.
I agree with you. That's the first thing I said when I heard this. That doesn't sound right. And the guy didn't have enough money for a rocket. He never launched anything in his life. You know, a small group of people. And, oh, here we're going to do this. And the news media went with it. I don't know. Very strange. I mean, if the guy had intentions of really doing it and just went broke, that's a possibility too. But if he did, it's a heck of a way of thinking. Yeah. Oh yeah. Let's go on a one-way mission and spend the rest of our days locked up in a can on Mars. I don't get it. You know. I agree with you on that one. Any other questions or comments?
I have a question. KG2RY.
KG2RY. Go ahead.
Have you ever heard of a man, his name is Raymond Scott?
Raymond Scott. No, no, it doesn't ring a bell right now. Back to you.
Raymond Scott was a composer, inventor, pianist, and visionary. He was most well known for his electronic music back in the 40s and 50s. He made a lot of commercials that were overseen of outer space. My question for you is, are there actual sounds in outer space?
Well, it depends what you mean. There's plenty of sounds inside the International Space Station, and they're in outer space, you know. I mean, they talk to each other all the time, you know. But they're inside with a 14.7 pound per square inch atmosphere with almost the same atmosphere that we breathe here, you know, the same percentage nitrogen and oxygen. The only thing they don't have floating around in there is argon. But they have oxygen and nitrogen. So, noise in space, you know. So yeah, if you were in a spacesuit, you wouldn't hear a thing. If somebody was banging on that, you know, you're floating around free. You're in a manned space unit. You know, you're in a MMU, a manned maneuvering unit, and you're floating near the space station. And somebody takes a big wrench and starts banging on the outside of the aluminum hull of that space station. You're not going to hear a thing. I guess, is that what you mean? Back to you.
AC2GS?
Hold on, Roy. If you go into the ocean and you're surrounded by dolphins, you'll hear the sound of the dolphins in the ocean. Maybe the sound doesn't travel as, it's not very loud. Maybe it's loud. They've detected sounds in the ocean. So my question is, you know, if you bring a tape recorder, put a microphone outside of a spacecraft, would you hear anything from there?
No, the only thing you're going to hear is maybe radio interference coming up your microphone from something else. It's, you know, no, Absolutely not. Yeah. You know, it's like the old joke, you know, nobody can hear you scream, you know, in space. Over to you, Roy, AC2GS. Don't tell me that they fired a gun in space or something and they found out there was sound. Please don't tell me that. Back to you, Roy.
AC2GS. No, I'm not going to tell you that, Paul. A sound is travels through some medium, usually air, in the case of dolphins, through water, but it needs a medium, other than unlike electromagnetism, which can travel through a vacuum. In the vacuum of space, there is no longitudinal compression waves that are what we would call sound waves. So there are no sounds in the vacuum of space.
So Raymond Scott uses imagination to create sounds that sound like they come from outer space for the commercials and the programs that, you know, he made them for. But you're saying that in outer space there's no medium for the sound to travel, therefore you wouldn't hear anything.
Yes.
Bingo!
Yeah, and you wonder about the light too, like flying right past you, but you don't see anything. The only time you see something, you put your hand up and you say, hey, my hand's lit up. That works. I'm looking at the time, Roy. I didn't get to some of these other topics, but I did want to bring up the one before I go, because I don't know if you put it on your website or not. Let me stand by one and see if I have it. Gotta let CW win. CW first. I was gonna see if Roy could put these two pictures up on his website. If not, that's okay too. I talk about the size of the Falcon 9 rocket a lot. The booster always comes down and lands on a ship, or actually will return to Earth in landing zone 1 or landing zone 2 that SpaceX uses all the time. You know, they launch the Falcon 9 rocket and they put satellites into space. And last, a couple of weeks ago, they put two astronauts up into space. Well, the booster came down, and then that particular booster landed on a drone ship about the size of a football field out in the Atlantic Ocean by the Carolinas. And they used tow boat to bring it all the way back to Cape Canaveral. So the picture shows that. Gives you a good idea of roughly the height of this thing. It's 150 feet tall. It's roughly 15 stories from the legs all the way up. But then there's another picture, and it shows a bunch of workmen working down right near the legs, how big these legs are, you know, and how massive this thing is. It gives you a good idea of how big this vehicle really is. Naturally, on top of that, there's a second stage, which is another, you know, 50 feet long. On top of that is another 40-foot section, which encompasses the satellites or, you know, with the fairing. But this part they keep bringing back and reusing over and over again, and they've done it 32 different times so far, is the booster, 150 feet tall, 12 feet in diameter, four gigantic carbon composite landing legs that open up at the last second and land on the ship. And you can see the workers working on that. And it really gives, you know, it gives you a perspective. You know, when I talk about this stuff, it's just audio, and you're really not looking at some of the pictures. You know, you see what goes on TV, but these two pictures, I think, would, you know, it shows a lot, I think. Roy, I want to pass it over to you. I don't know if you put it on your site, but like I said, if the text is included, then it makes sense to anybody that brings it up. AC2GS, WS2N for the SpaceNet report on the TechNet. Back to you, Brian.
AC2GS, thank you very much, Paul. And yes, I put it up on my link page. Anyone who's interested can just type roy.ac2gs.com. And they can get the link page, which has the two pictures and some text under it to explain it, and some other bits and pieces, a link to the New York Times article about the antibodies, and a very nice YouTube that discusses how N95 masks work as well.
good. And Roy, I just want one other comment before before you try to ribbon on it. WS2N.
Yeah, sure, Paul. Talk.
Oh, okay. You know, with this bet, I've never stopped keeping track of the numbers, and if it was still here, we would be up to 1,800 today. 1,800. So I just want to bring that up, and the science talk is 127. You've done 127 of these things. Based on that report, actually, this is a round number for me, 400, and I thought it would be a good time to talk about this because now we have Andy's Corner, and Andy's Corner is one. So there you go. Back to you, Roy. A piece of, I guess, fun information. WS2N.
Thank you very much, Paul. Yeah, I appreciate that number. I never kind of got into that habit. For my other technical net, I actually record the audio and post it to a website, so I'm stuck with numbering it. So maybe because of that, I try not to number anything else, but you will be our official numberer. And I thank you very much for that, Paul, as well as all that you do for the technical net.
You're welcome. And it's good that you brought on Andy. I was hoping he would do that. That's good.
Yes, indeed. My thanks go out to Paul, WS2N, who has done a yeoman's job with the space report for many, many years. And my thanks go out to Andy, WA2CDL, with his new Andy's Corner. And I don't know, maybe if you have some topics or articles that are of interest to you that you would like to have Andy take a look at and see if he would like to present it for one of the Andy's Corners, you could always email me, again, mailbag@ac2gs.com. And as I said before, links to Paul's images and a few YouTube videos are available on my link page now at roy.ac2gs.com. And archives going back to 2006. Are available at MyKC2NJI's AmateurRadio.tv website. So please take a look at that. And as always, I want to thank everyone who participated tonight. You guys make or break a technical net. Otherwise, we'd just be talking to ourselves. So I do appreciate your participation, and I appreciate people who just listen in. And I hope you'll come back next Sunday when we'll be doing it again. So with that, I just want to offer a bit of wisdom from one of the wisest men that I've known, Dick K2RIW, and that is be kind to each other. And we've talked a little bit about the coronavirus. It's not over. I wish it was. Be safe. Be sensible. Be smart about it. No reason to hide under rocks, but no reason to throw a parade. So be smart about it, and this too shall pass. So I want to wish everyone a safe week. Be well, be healthy, and we'll be back to do it again next Sunday. This is AC2GS, and I am clear.
WA2CDL, you listening?
W2VL, repeater.
Hey, Roger, Roger. Yeah, you're listening? This is, hold on a second. This is, KC2QYW. Joe from Harrison, New York. Over to you.
Yeah, KC2QYW. I think it's QYW? Or is it IW? Okay, Joe, gotcha. This is Andy from West Hampton.
Hey, Andy. I recognize you. I haven't spoken to you in, well, it's kind of my fault. I haven't been on this repeater in a long, long time. Just been on my other repeaters. But, yeah, I recognize you, Andy. How you doing, buddy? Yeah, this is Joe from Harrison, New York. Yeah, my call sign is a Twister, ton time. It's Kilo Charlie 2, Quebec, Yankee, Whiskey. And, yeah, you know, I just ordered a two battery chargers, universal battery chargers from, I can't pronounce it, I think it's Trinity? Back to you.
Okay, I'm not familiar with the name. I think you said Trinity? I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm always listening or doing something around the repeater. I just came back on. I was on earlier, but I had to do a couple of things. Usually on Sundays, I'm doing some stuff. And I listen to the TechNet in the background. So, very good. Well, here it is summer. And I'm looking forward to having things open up again. Since we're doing so well, at least here we are. The rest of the country, I'm not too sure about.
Yeah, roger. Yeah, I was waiting for the four beeps. I guess around this time, they don't have the four beeps on the repeater. Let's see. I guess I'll spell it to you. It's a very well-known company. And, you know, I build gas remote control buggies and cars and whatnot, 1/8 scales and whatnot. And it's always good to go with a good company with chargeable batteries and whatnot. And the spelling of this company is TENERGY. So, yeah, whenever you have time, take a look at their website. It's good stuff.
TENERGY, Tenergy? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah, you got it there, buddy. Roger. I just saw a YouTube video on it, and he said it the way you said it. Yeah, for some reason, I have a problem saying it. Tenetry? Yeah, so. That's funny, right? So, yeah, and I'll have to go back to work until September. First student school bus driver over here and master mechanic. So, my 2006 Volkswagen Jetta, you know, I've just been rebuilding the whole thing. So, this week I'm going to put in the vacuum pump in there and the new gasket, and I'm almost done. Yeah, you know? So, back to you.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's always nice to work with your hands and build things and put things together and so on. I'm curious, do you do any welding at all?
Oh, man, you know what's so funny? I was just about to tell you that. I was just about to tell you, man, oh, man, I wish I learned how to weld. I wish I knew how to weld. You know, I could always scrap up some metal, go in the backyard and buy some welding equipment, but no thank you, because it could be dangerous. Yeah, you just read my mind. Isn't that funny? I was just about to tell you, I wish I knew how to do welding. Oh, man, back to you.
Okay, no, it's not, you know, it's only as dangerous as you make it. But if you, you know, follow the procedures and the laws of welding and the instructions and the way to do it, it's not bad. I'm playing around with it. Because there's actually something I want to weld. I do own a MIG welder. And, a MIG welder, MIG is metal, they call it metal inert gas. Because it does use, I have two gas bottles that I can connect, but I'm not using the gas. I'm using a flux core wire, if you would call it that. And a MIG welder actually has a spool of that, or at least mine does. And it unspools into the MIG welding gun, which is trigger activated. MIG welding is pretty easy, but, you know, like anything else, you got to take precautions. Because you're dealing with, my machine puts out, the voltage is low, it's about 32 volts, but the current, obviously the current is high. It's got an average current of 135 amps, but a peak current of 165, 170, around there, 170 amps, and it operates on 220 volts. I got a 220 volt unit. So that's a MIG weld. Of course, there's also stick welding. There's also TIG, which is tungsten. It's a tungsten gas welder. And there's another one. I forgot the name. I gotta remember that one. Because obviously there's different types of metals that you can weld to. And, you know, each metal has a different melting temperature. There's a chart which tells you. There's tutorials. You can go on YouTube. Go on YouTube and actually learn how to weld by seeing some videos. It's a lot of fun. Just to take two pieces of metal and weld it together. You could play around with it and get a feel for, you know, how it feels to weld, the feel of it, the bond, how strong the bond is, the kind of metals and so on. It's pretty good. So, all right, back to you with that. WA2CDO.
Yeah, Roger, Roger. That's funny that you're talking about welding, because earlier today I went to the Harbor Freight. I guess they call it Harbor Freight Warehouse or Harbor Freight Tools and whatnot over here in Westchester County, New York. Over here in White Plains, New York. The funny thing is, I was looking at the welding machines that they have out in display. Yeah, right. That'll be my next project. Maybe I'll research it and learn it on YouTube and whatnot. And yeah, I bought a whole bunch of good stuff over there today at the Harbor Freight. Yeah, back to you.
Okay, very good. Yeah, there's a Harbor Freight right by me too, which I've been to many times. I know it's the stuff, the welding stuff that they sell. Yep. Yeah, and they got some good prices. You don't have to spend a lot to get yourself a small welder. They also sell a spot welder, and for very small areas. And it's a different configuration of welding, and a different style of spot welding. That's what they call it. So, yeah, and Harbor Freight is good. The prices are right. So I have a Lincoln welder. Lincoln's a pretty Hobart is another company that makes welders. I have a Lincoln. And it's a pretty good one. So, as I said, it's a wire feed. It spools out the wire that you install. And I have a flux core wire that I bought, which eliminates the need of using the gas. Although I have the gas bottles to be attached if I want to use that. So, all right, sounds good. Yeah, well, I've been, as far as soldering is concerned, I learned how to solder a long time ago. And that's another art, especially with surface mount components. There are certain types of fluxes that you can apply to a surface mount component, which will enable the component to be moved faster without damaging the circuit board because the lands are so small. And then you replace it with another component, and you can use hot air to melt the solder. It's a solder paste, and what you do is you just use hot air, and the solder just melts, and then you can wick it up, and it'll clean it up nicely. Just there are different techniques. So you can have multi leads on an IC, on a service mount IC, and you can clean it up really nice using one of those techniques. So, or that technique. There's others as well. That's another art. Okay, Joe, back to you. WHCDL.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff. Roger that. And, I'm also, I have, tons of hobbies, different hobbies. I also do the extreme BMX bike. But, of course, Anthony, the BMX bikes that I buy are, custom made. And, man, you got to see the welds, the way they weld these BMX bikes together. They're so clean. So professional, so clean, and the top tube is like 22 inches longer than a regular size BMX bike, and the company is I think it's Eastern BMX, EASTERN, and check this out, the whole frame is called, I don't know if you ever heard about this metal, it's called full chromoly frame. 100% full, I don't know if I'm saying it right, 100% full chromoly frame, CHROMOLY. And the reason why I love riding these BMX bikes, because they never break down. I don't have to worry about switching gears. I got like four of them. I also ride with my kids. Tori, she's 17, and Adam's 12, And the tires, double wall, check this out, double wall rims on the rims, they never bend, no matter what. You could go down a friggin' mountain, they'll never bend. And the tube is so wide, I forgot how many inches it is, but the tire itself is about maybe, let's see, about 4 inches wide. So, these bikes are not cheap. They are not cheap. So what I do is I wait until they go on sale. I usually buy them in the wintertime. And we have a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun on these custom made BMX bikes and whatnot. Yeah, back to you.
Oh, sounds interesting. Okay. Yeah, bicycle technology has changed over the years. I've been. I remember the first time I got I bought a three-speed English racer, and that's what they used to call it. This was back in the 60s, when I first learned how to ride a bicycle. Actually, it was the early 60s, because we didn't have, I didn't own a bike when my parents and I lived in an apartment. I didn't have a bike. When we bought our first house, my father bought a house, and I bought a bicycle. I said to my father, I said, can you buy me a bicycle? And he did. He got an English racer, three-speed. And now, in this day and age, with technology, they don't even use the caliper rubber brakes anymore. They use now disc brakes, like on cars. They got front wheel, they got rear wheel disc brakes, they got hydraulic brakes as well. They got full suspensions now on these bikes. I mean, I haven't kept up with bicycle technologies per se, but I've heard about all these different types of bikes you can buy. Actually, I want to buy a bicycle again because I want to start riding, so I want to look around and see what I can buy. Something just for touring. I'm not looking for a mountain bike or anything like that. A bike that's got fat tires, wide tires. I don't need that. But I don't want any racing bikes either. I don't want the handlebars to curve down. I want something that's just touring. I used to do a lot of bicycle riding in my teens and 20s. I rode all over the place. I even had a radio on my bike on the handlebars, let you know. So I am looking to buy a bike again, and I was just waiting for the stores to open up so I can go shopping and see what I can find. But, yeah, I guess the full chromoly, chromoloy, chromoloy, maybe I'm saying it better, chromoloy, maybe it's a lighter frame that's stronger in strength, than some of the other bicycle frames, and I forget the names of the frames. These are not steel, because I'm looking, actually, the last bike that I owned was very light.
Repeater, timeout.
Yeah, let me
Repeater,
get...
Repeater, timeout, cancel.
Yeah, hold on a second, let me identify. Wait to CDL. I stopped transmitting when I heard repeater timeout, because I'm listening. The last bike that I got was very light.
The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. The time is 12:04 a.m. 73, and good night from the W2VL repeater. Net tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. Good morning. The time is 5:00 a.m.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater. Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater. W2VL repeater.
Flymark InfoNet tonight at 8:30. This is the W2VL repeater.
W2VL repeater.
Here is WB2EAV listening.
Are you sure of that? WB2ZFC.
No, I'm not sure of that at all. Maybe you can help me.
Oh, it sounded more like you were talking than listening.
Well, I'm ambidextrous. I can talk and listen. I have a duplexer.
Oh, at the same time, no doubt. Hi, Ed. How are you?
I am good. Thank you. And yourself?
Oh, I'm back in the normal lousy traffic that you experience in Queens.
I believe it was better for a while because of the virus. You're saying the honeymoon is over?
Yeah, that's basically it.
I have a ham radio related story to relate.
Okay, I'm stuck in traffic. You got my attention.
All right. You know all about my collinear, and I told you that it's very, very old, and the trunk lid mount is kind of ratty. I thought it might be a good idea to invest in a new one. And, oh, by the way, I went out to Wading River on Saturday. I think I caught you for a while on the way home. But on the way out, I was talking to Andy CDL, and I was very impressed with the performance of the antenna. I held on to Glen Oaks repeater out to like exit 62 or something. Anyway, let me just drop.
If you pick it up.
Decided it might be a good idea to just have an upgrade ready because I'm so happy with it. So I looked into it, and it's basically the same antenna is still available, and not for a bad price at all. But the you can get it with or without the mount. And MFJ seems to make a much more rugged, reliable, although admittedly more expensive mount. So I bought the collinear with a 3/8-24 thread, and the MFJ 3/8-24 thread, really rugged mount. Okay, so far?
Right. I think I've heard this before, but go ahead.
No, you didn't hear this before, because I'm about to relay. It happened yesterday afternoon. So I start playing with it, and I'm pulling my hair out. Things are not making sense at all. And I'm checking different antennas, and things are very squirrely. And then I start trying, you know, coloring outside the line stuff. I take an ohmmeter, and I realize the MFJ unit, the coax, is shorted at the trunk lid mount.
See, and you got that for free that way. They didn't charge you extra.
So I refuse. What are my options? And, of course, the obvious option is send it back. But considering how long it took me to just get it without any problems, I figured God knows what that would entail. And it's RG-58. And I said, I've been playing with RG-58 since the mid-1960s. It holds no mysteries for me. So I worked on it myself, and I was able to fix it. Let me let it drop. Once the coax goes into the housing, it goes to two large circular lugs. One goes around, you know, one goes basically, presses up against the metal body of the device. The other one presses up against the actual 3/8-24 bolt that holds the coupler on. And there's a nylon shoulder washer, salty indicated. Insulated. Well, where the coax splits into the two lugs, there was no insulation, and the crimp part of both lugs was solidly pressing together.
So you removed it and redid it, about a half an inch shorter.
Well, because of the fat lugs on one end and the PL-259 on the other end, T-string sleeving would have been the optimal, but there was no way it was going to fit. So, no, I just wrapped it with some electrical tape, put the whole thing back together.
Well, that should work.
Well, I ran some tests last night, and everything was promising, but I decided it's not ready for prime time, so I'm talking to you now is the what I was using on Saturday.
Seems to work.
Although I did make the tweak. I was worried about the mount, so I put up two guy wires. You know the way most cars have a coat rack, you know, a little coat hook? In the back, over the back seat, you know, behind the back window and above it?
I do.
Well, I took some thin, very thin rope, and I made a little guy line to each of those that kept the a forward pressure on it, but I realized it tended to lean forward. And this was making it go, you know, reasonably far forward. I read somewhere, I think on the instructions that came with the new unit, mount it as vertical as possible, because it gives you a pretty flat pattern, and you want to keep it pointed towards the horizon. So I got an idea, and right now I have the thing stressed with the guy wires towards the back. I have them looping around the trunk lid and tied to something on the bottom of the trunk. And I figure if I keep it stressed towards the back, it'll be fairly wind resistant. So far, so good.
Okay. You know, whatever works.
Well, I frankly find it hard to believe that the little bit of pitching forward I had would have an effect, but I figured, what the hell, let's give it a try.
And good morning, WA2CDO. Just turned the radio on.
Hey, Andy. Yeah, Ed, it's like chicken soup. No, may not help. Couldn't hurt.
Hang on a sec, Andy. Well, the worst case for you is something goes wrong and it kind of falls off the car. But I don't think I'm in any danger with that. Hey, Andy, I heard you last night on the net.
Oh. So what did you think of my little skit? Andy's Corner. I think a corner would be an interesting name for it. Just, you know, just to give some information out as I, and good morning to everyone. Yeah, because I read through QSTs and CQs. I got a lot of magazines, a lot of those. And there's some interesting articles on just information. So I figured why not share it, you know, for people who maybe may not read it. And there's a lot of stuff. You know, as you know, so I can go on and on. I just got to find something that would be valuable and entertaining. What's your opinion of that, Ed? Back to you.
Oh, it was absolutely fine. No issues whatsoever. It was a good topic. You did it well. It's a good idea to keep doing it. I suggest don't get roped into commitments. Do it on your schedule, because once you're roped into it, it becomes a chore. Do it because you want to, not because you have to. I'm about to go through the rather hilly section on the Bagatelle Road, so I'd appreciate signal reports. Now that my antenna is about corrected and totally vertical compared to the road. let's see. Oh, and one other thing. Paul, WS2N, I don't think you were still there. After he gave his space report, he thanked Roy for the good work and made a pointed mention of thanking you for joining the group.
Oh, okay. I just thought I'd, you know, help out Roy a bit with some interesting stuff. Because there's always good. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, I found an article in a more recent QST on decibels, which is an interesting topic, without going into the math behind it. So, you know, and just to talk about how you use decibels and where you would use them and things like that. So maybe, so I'm thinking of doing that one as a topic. You know, and then we can go from there. My QSTs, by the way, and I'll give it back to Steve in a second. I got QSTs going back to the 1930s and 40s, so I have a lot of the older ones, and those are all very technical, and they go into a lot of the, you know, the math and everything else. Not less advertisements and just more building, because back then that's all people did to get on. You know, especially in the 40s and 50s, late 40s and 50s, you know, a lot of people built their own equipment. So I just thought I'd mention that too. All right, give it back to you for a final, and then give it to Steve.
Oh, I'm not quite ready to sign yet, but yeah, sounds good, Steve.
Yeah, I'm just sort of getting into the neighborhood of work over here. You just got a little bit noisy, Ed. Where you heading up in Donington?
I'm on Bagatelle Road, heading south of the LIE. Basically, I go right past the Uniondale train station. Not Uniondale, Wyandale.
Well, you know, I was sitting there thinking for a minute, going, Bagatelle Road, Uniondale. That's something I don't know.
Yeah, because Uniondale's about what? 15 miles west of here in the Wyandale.
Oh, okay. Yeah, just actually, we just installed a repeater over there about a week or so ago.
I assume not ham.
That's correct.
All right, doesn't matter. If it's not ham, it doesn't appear on my field of view. Engine?
Okay. No, you sound fine, Ed. You sound good. By the way, Steve, are you available? We could get together and maybe we could go out to Selden if you want to do that. I'm going to have, it looks like I'm going to have some extra time now because I'm finally getting caught up in everything over here. So we could get together and do some things if you want. On your schedule, Steve, go ahead. Back to you.
Yeah, I have no idea, Andy, to be honest with you. Let me think about this. I can't tell you, but I do. I guess actually the other repeater cabinet can get moved down there, but we really got to clean up. Actually, we still have to clean up over in. Why do they have this block closed? Over in Glen Oaks first.
Whatever you want to do first, it's fine. What I'm saying is I'm available.
Yeah, I gotcha. Yeah, I was talking to Richie. We got to get rid of those two cabinets. Bill couldn't take care of it. He got tied up with time and couldn't pull them down that time. So we got to 86 them.
I could get a hold of. All right, I'll talk to you about that. I'll talk to you about how we could do that.
Okay. I mean, I can't be too much help, only because I can't do too much these days. Messed up my wrist a little bit. My knees are killing me, so. Okay. I had mentioned it to Richie the other day, and he was looking into something. So if you've got something available, you might want to discuss it with him.
No problem. I'll talk to him about it. Just like we got those up there, and just like we moved the, I gotta think back now, we moved that cabinet from the other location near me, we could do the same thing to get him out.
Okay, so I'll let you talk to him about it, and I'll take care of my repeater, which is just sitting there. With Steve. It's small enough I could fit it into my truck at some point.
Okay, that's fine, yeah. All right, I'm just saying, you just let me know what you want to do. I'm actually I'm building shelving so I can sort things out and and put things away, including, you know, what you just gave me last week. So I'm making an inventory and I'm, you know, just putting everything in one spot.
Yeah. Hope that supply can work out as a good bench supply. It seems to be reasonably decent.
Okay, which supply then? The little Astron or the big one?
Well, little physically, yes. It's a 30 amp supply.
You talk about the Astron that you gave me, right?
Yeah. It should work out as a good bench supply, I would think.
I already used it because I made a separate bench. I made another workbench. Now I got four of them.
Now all you need is three more people.
Yeah, because I'm doing multiple things at the same time to get caught up. So I set up a number of different things. So I'm using that. It's fine.
Okay. Yeah, I've had pretty good success with their products.
Okay, I don't want to leave Ed out now. And the other supply, you know, the one that we pulled out of Glen Oaks, I still have to look at that. I think that's the one that lost its voltage or something. I got to see what's going on. I haven't turned it on yet. I'm setting that up on a bench so I can use that as a test supply.
Yeah, I think there's another supply still up there sitting on my cabinet, too.
Okay. All right, we'll see.
NY2H.
Whoa! Here you are. By the way, nice recording.
Thank you. Listen, I just came back from a 2.5 mile walk. I gained so much weight, I got to get back in gear, disciplined. So I just came into the room and I heard you guys chatting. Anything happening? What's going on?
Andy was telling me he had a little time on his hands, and I was telling him we have to get, we still have the cabinets over in Glen Oaks that we have to get rid of. I mentioned it to Richie. Andy says he may have a solution.
Okay, sounds good. I started playing with the custom audio library on ESCOM. Very cool. Nice capability. I think I saw your light up in Queens. You in Queens? Then hand it back to Andy.
Hey guys, I don't mind, but I do want to sign. I have a question for Lou before I go.
Okay, I'm leaving. Yes, I'm in Queens. WB2ZSC, goodbye.
All right, Steve. No, I am here, and I don't worry. I did not mind what you were talking about, but I have a question for Lou. Are you familiar with an app called Microchip Technology?
What's the name of the place?
Microchip Technology. They make the PIC family of microcontrollers. I mean, is it possible on a real 1 in a million shot you're very familiar with them?
No, I don't believe I am. But what do you need?
I need somebody who on a scale of 1 to 10 can give me at least an 8 or a 9 on familiarity. I have a very esoteric question. I'm not getting any help from them. All right, never mind. I got to run. Andy, you take the WB2EAB clear.
Ed, call me on the phone. I use those chips. I have all the stuff about it. All the books and even the programmer.
Ah. I should have asked you first thing. I didn't think you did. Perfect, perfect. I'll keep in touch. WB2EAB has to run.
Have a good day, Ed.
All right, I'm actually playing around with the Arduino microcontroller. I got some books I picked up. But doing it very slowly. All right, Lou, by the way, Lou, I'll call you on the phone a little bit later because I had a question regarding last night.
Yeah. Glendale, Richmond Hill, Ozone Park, minus 89 dBm.
Yeah, but I have a different question too. All right, no problem. All right, I'm gonna go. I'll call you later. I gotta make a couple of phone calls. And Steve, I'll call Richie. I'll let him know we can, you know, do something.
Yeah, I think he's signed. Are you home?
Yes, I'm home. I'm just waiting for somebody to stop by.
Yeah, I'm waiting for my new SCR dongles to arrive. I ordered 3 of them. I checked yesterday, and as of Saturday, they were in Chicago, supposedly. So, promised before July 1st, so I'm anxious. All right, that's about it. Let me recover from my walk here and just have some coffee. And, all right, call me later. I'll talk to you. WA2CDL, NY2H.
Okay. All right. I'm very good. Well, give me a call a bit later. All right. 73. See, talk to you. I didn't hear Steve sign. That's why I missed it. WA2CDL.